Our main scripture here is 1 Samuel 9:9. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, "Come and let's go to the seer." For he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. A seer is an Old Testament word for prophet, but it was particularly how the prophet saw. There's two major ways you receive prophetic revelation. One is called a Nabi prophet, Nabi. Other one's called a seer. A Nabi prophet, and you can operate in both. And I've operated in both, given the same prophetic word. I'll start out as a seer and switch to a Nabi, and I'll explain that in a second. A Nabi is the flowing thoughts that you're getting from the Lord. It just pours and pours and pours. If you ever hear someone prophesy and they start getting into this rhythm as they're prophesying like that, or they start speaking real fast and they're speaking and they're speaking and they're speaking and they're just pouring out, they're probably flowing in a Nabi anointing. Because the flowing thoughts of God tend to be faster than our normal speech. So, you know, so that person is keeping up, they're speaking very fast, or they're into this rhythm like that as they're speaking the words of the Lord. That's getting into the flowing thoughts of the Lord. Nabi prophet. A seer prophet is one that sees images and pictures in their mind. You can tell someone is operating in a seer anointing. They pause, and then they prophesy, and they stop and pause, and then they prophesy. The reason being is they're getting images and pictures. They have to interpret that. Like, I see a bicycle. And then you wait for you see it first, you wait for the revelation to come. That's why when I can always tell when someone's prophesying, I'll say, oh, they're a Nabi, or they're a seer. With myself, I'll start with an image or a picture, and I'll just get one image that I don't understand. It's that I've learned to focus in on that spontaneous thought or the spontaneous image. And I learn to grab onto that. I focus in, and then I usually start, I see a bicycle. And then all of a sudden, the revelation of it starts to come. And I'll start speaking faster and faster because I'll go from seeing the image to getting the flowing thoughts of the Lord. The Lord may use you that way. It just helps to know these things as the Lord's speaking to you because you recognize when they come and you'll be more proficient in your interpretation and delivery of how the Lord's talking to you. You can usually tell when someone's flowing from a Nabi gift. They often say, I hear the Lord saying. A seer will say, I see the Lord saying this. Because he's seeing that image of that bicycle. I see the Lord saying this. Not always. These are things that I found. People tend to speak what's going on inside of them. The importance of the seer gift. First of all, I want to make a couple declarations here. Is if you're not operating in a seer, if you're not really seeing in the Spirit a whole lot yet, you will.
Yes.
Thank you.
We as the body of Christ in this time in history, I believe as the church, we've made a mistake of thinking that everything God does, he does sovereignly. The Lord is sovereign. And often I've heard people say, well, if the Lord wants me to speak in tongues, then he'll give me the gift of tongues. He'll sovereignly give me the gift of tongues. Or if the Lord wants this to happen, he'll make that happen. The Bible does not support that. There's an ask and a seeking and a knocking. There's a contending for. There's an eagerly desiring for. There's an action on our part. There's the violent that take it by force. I can look at my own life, and there is, sure, there is anointings, and there is breakthroughs, but, you know, and there's offices, the fivefold ministry. But if I'm not moving into a greater capacity in a particular gift, there's a responsibility that rests with me. Is that I have to want it. And I have to go for it. And if you don't, if you're not moving in a particular gift, I just encourage you to stir it up. Love this expression. Bubble, bubble, the devil's in trouble. You stir up the bubbling in here. Stir up that river. Bubble, bubble. And then the devil's going to get real scared when you start to move into things of the Lord. Jesus modeled what a Christian life should look like. Jesus came 100% God, but he laid it all down. And everything he did upon the earth, he did as 100% man. To show you and me what our life can look like when we're in right relationship with the Father. Jesus, the two things that Jesus modeled in his walk, the 3 years that he had that power of ministry upon the earth, is he did not have no sin. And you know that's possible. I can show you scripture to go into that. But, and the second thing is he was totally 100% absolutely, completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He had totally surrendered his will to that of the Holy Spirit. Because he was so dependent, completely, totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and because he was walking without sin, the Bible says he was given the Spirit without measure. Mm-hmm. Which means there is measures of the Holy Spirit we walk in. Mm. It implies that. Jesus walked without measure, which means gravity did not apply. You could walk upon the sea, you could walk on water. The natural laws didn't apply because he brought heaven to earth wherever he went. That is a model for us.
Yes.
We do not model ourselves off other pastors and other people. I was watching T.D. Jakes the other night. If I tried to preach as good as he did, I would feel so insecure. That man is a preaching machine. Right? I mean, I wish I could. It's just, it's, but I model myself after Jesus. He is my example. He's a prototype of a new man and a new woman. A prototype of how we, the potential of what we have. Jesus was 100% dependent upon the Holy Spirit and 100% only did what he saw the Father doing. Jesus was in two places at one time. He was seated in a heavenly place and his feet were upon this earth. You are in two places at one time. You are seated in heavenly places. And you are planted upon this earth. If Jesus, and I really took that and worked it through the Greek, when it says he only did what he saw his Father, it means with his eyes, he looked to see what his Father was doing, and that is what he did. If Jesus can do that as 100% man, we can do it. It was God's original intent for us to see into the Spirit like this. So let me take you back. We're only the part that says the seer gift is a restoration of our spiritual sight that we had in the garden. In my personal opinion, this is not in the Bible, but from what I can pull from reading the scriptures, I believe Adam and Eve could see God before the fall. I mean, it says now that no one can see the face of God and live. But I believe Adam and Eve, without sin, they were made in the image of God. They did not have the knowledge of good and evil. There was no sin. I believe there was nothing between them and the Father, and they could see the Lord. And God the Father would come down and walk with them in the garden. God created us for fellowship, intimate fellowship with Him. So I can see Adam and Eve walking, seeing the Father in the garden. I can just imagine that scene. In Genesis 3:6, now, this is before the fall, before they ate the apple. It says, Eve looked at the tree, and she saw that the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. The eyesight in the garden was different. If you've never eaten, if I say to you apple, you can taste an apple in your mouth, the juiciness of the apple. But if you had never seen one, you had never imagined, you had no grid for that, you would not have that sensation. You would especially not be able to look at the apple and say, it's good to make one wise. There was a discernment, a wisdom that they had with their eyesight. They could see past the normal vision that's been clouded and limited by sin. They had this incredible eyesight. So, they are in the garden, the serpent comes, they are tempted, they eat of the apple, and it says in Genesis 3, 6, and 7 that their eyes were opened. This is very important. They fall into sin and their eyes become open. And they know that they didn't have anything on. Why? Because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Since they had knowledge of evil, they looked down, saw that they were naked. This is not good. So, they fall into sin. Their eyes are opened. And then, in Genesis 3:8, they said they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Notice they did not see Him. But their eyes were opened, but they can't see God now. But their eyes were opened. And they hid themselves. They can only hear the Father now. And that's when God called out, Adam, where are you? Let me take you up to John 12, 39. Jesus came, right? And when Jesus came, it was to remove the barrier of sin and to take us back to where we could have relationship with the Father like Adam and Eve did in the garden before the fall. So in John 12, 39, it says, Isaiah had said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so that they could not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart. Remember, Eve could look at the tree and with her sight and perceive. 1 John says that darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay, let me take you down to the bottom there. John 9:39 says, this is Jesus, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see. Okay, now we know in Isaiah, Jesus said, I've come to open the eyes of those that are blind. We assume that means the miracles. I'm going to pray that the deaf will hear, and the blind will see, and the lame will walk. But he says, for judgment I came to this world, for that those who do not see may see. Makes sense? Now listen to this. And those that see may become blind. So what Jesus is saying, I'm coming to make people blind. It's pretty wild, huh? Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, are we blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. Remember in the garden, their eyes were opened after they sinned. So he said, if you have no sin, you're blind. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. What happened in the garden was that when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the eyes of sin became opened. And they traded, we traded, spiritual eyes for natural eyes. And since then, we've had a problem seeing spiritually. And Jesus said, I have come to close those eyes of sin. I have come to close the eyes of the knowledge of good and evil. And I have come to open the eyes, the spiritual eyes that perceived that Adam and Eve had in the garden. In Joel 2:28, I've said this before, that was God's dream. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, and dreams and visions will come. I believe the visions that the Lord was prophesying, and Joel prophesied, was that the visions, that our sight would be restored.
Yes.
In these days, the Lord is moving to restore our spiritual sight.
Thank you.
The world has done everything it can. The enemy of this world has done everything that it can to close down our spiritual eyes so that we cannot perceive. When we get saved and our sin gets taken away, our spiritual eyes are open. But we come into this kingdom as infants, as babies, with milk. As a baby is born, needs to learn to walk, we get new eyes. We need to learn to see. I believe, because of that, I believe the Lord wants everyone to operate in the seer realm.
Yeah.
When Elijah prayed for his servant Gehazi, they were surrounded, and the armies were getting ready to attack him. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And Gehazi's eyes were opened, and he saw the armies of the Lord. They were always there, whether Gehazi saw them or not. What the Lord is doing in these days is opening our eyes that we can see into an unseen realm. These verses about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel are some of the best verses that I've seen about how to see in the Spirit and the progression of it. Okay? We must be comfortable with the fact that our spiritual eyes are becoming open. We must learn to be comfortable with the fact that our spiritual eyes is within our mind. It's our imagination. Our imagination, our mind, is our spiritual eye. It's an organ as such as the pancreas, lungs, heart that God has put within us to be able to see into an unseen realm. Dreams, visions, the voice of the Lord comes through your mind, comes through your imagination. Okay? Daniel 4:5, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream and it made me fearful. And these fantasies, as I lay on my bed, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. Where did he see the visions?
In his mind.
Now these were the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed. I kept looking, and behold, and there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. Did Daniel actually see a tree?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Did he actually see a tree?
Yes.
Yes. Where did he see it?
In his mind.
Was it real?
Yes.
Why? Because it's in the Bible.
Yes.
Right.
The Lord said he saw a tree in his mind. Then he says in Daniel 4:13, and I was looking in the visions in my mind. When a vision starts, it comes faint. I call them angel taps. And I train myself. I'm constantly training myself to stop and focus. When that spontaneous thought, when that spontaneous vision comes, I stop and focus.
Mm-hmm.
And as I stop and focus on it, I look into what the Lord's showing me. I look into the vision. And as I focus and look into the vision expands.
Yeah.
That's how you That is how you see more vision. God has spoken to each one of us so many times, and we have ignored his voice. Mainly because either we didn't know or we were too busy. Okay? So I was looking in the visions of my mind, because I'm just kind of praying, and I see a tree. Wow, Lord, what's the tree? So I start looking at the tree. I'm looking at the tree, and all of a sudden, behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. What is he seeing? An angel. Is it real?
Yes.
Where is he seeing it? How do you, are angels in your mind real? Yes. Now Daniel. Daniel 7:1, he said, Daniel saw a dream and visions, where? In his mind, as he lay on the bed and he wrote the dream down. It's important here as we go through these verses, Daniel's part in it. This is what I mean by your experience. It's more than God just being sovereign. You contend for vision. There's a part, a responsibility on our part, that if we want to see into the Spirit more, we have to give of ourselves. We have to contend for that vision. So he said, and first he saw a, let me see, he saw, this is Daniel 7:4, saw a lion who had the wings of an eagle. It's pretty wild looking, is it? Isn't it? Yeah. And then what happened? Okay, I see a lion, it has wings. I keep looking at it. I start looking at the lion. I'm focusing and I'm looking at the lion. Its wings were plucked and so and so and so. After this, I kept looking and I saw what? A leopard. Again, what happens? He keeps looking. He sees a fourth beast. He would not have seen the beast, fourth beast or the leopard, if he had not kept looking. If his cell phone was ringing and Daniel just stopped to go answer his cell phone, he would not have seen this. He stops in focus. So he's really focusing. He's really focusing. He said, I keep looking, or I keep focusing on the visions within my mind until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Where is Daniel seeing into now? The throne room. Who is he seeing? God the Father. This is pretty awesome. Where is he seeing it? In his mind. Is it real? Yes. Yes. This is how prophets operate, guys. These guys like Bob Jones and stuff, this is how it works. They train themselves to look into the visions. When it starts, stop, I concentrate, boom. I give it everything that I have. That's what Daniel did. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He's in the throne room. Guys, that place is awesome. I've been there. I've done this. The first time I went into the throne room, I stood on the edge of it. And the power, the anointing, just the presence was so great. I tried to enter. It's like I couldn't. It's like my sin just kept me from it. And I finally inched forward. I thought, I kind of pushed myself in. I thought I was going to explode. And I looked down, only the tip of my one toe was in. And I really thought I was going to explode. It wasn't until the second time that the Lord, that I went in and was able to go into the throne room. You can approach boldly. This is for us today. Our visions are being restored. Adam saw God before the fall. I've never seen the face of God. I don't believe we can right now. I've seen the Lord. Many people have seen the Lord. Sterling House, some people saw the Lord on Sunday. That was a real encounter, just as Daniel had. The anointing that comes from those encounters can change your life. Mm. That can absolutely transform you. When you go into these experiences, there is a tangible release of the anointing and the presence of God that you will bring back upon this earth. And you will release it and see results. He was in the throne room. He's before the Father. And then what happens? He keeps looking. He has Daniel's, God has Daniel's 100% attention now. He keeps looking, and he keeps looking. And then, Daniel 7:13, he says, I kept looking, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented to him. Who did Daniel just see? Jesus. Where did he see him? In his mind. Was it real?
Yes.
Yes. This is how we encounter the Lord. You know, I love stories, especially over in with the Arabs in the Middle East, how some of these Muslims have had these encounters where Jesus physically walks into the room. I haven't had that. This is the way I encounter the Lord. And you basically position yourself. The faith is the trigger. Faith is the trigger. It's for me. Lord, you are restoring my sight. You want me. You want to encounter me. Amen. What would have happened when Daniel saw the tree in the first vision and his cell phone rang and he would have got up and answered it? He would have missed his encounter with God. He would have missed his encounter with Jesus. I'm telling you, many of us have missed our encounters.
In a bird.
Many of us. I have. Wow. There's a responsibility. There's on our part. When the Apostle John, in Revelation, when he was having his prophetic encounters, it was always, I was in the Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you've taken us into the Spirit. John had in the book of Revelations, it started out, I was in the Spirit. How do you get into the Spirit? Start worshiping. You start praying. The manifest presence of God comes. You're in the Spirit. John knew. John received the most incredible revelation of his time. But he was one that contended for it. He was one that positioned himself. He worshipped until the presence of God came, until he was in the Spirit. And it was at that time that the Lord, the mysteries of heaven, were revealed to John. If you would position yourself more often to go into the Spirit, to worship, and just keep worshiping until the presence of God comes. I went through this season in my life, and it's really stirring to go back to it, where I started 1 hour a day in prayer, then two, and sometimes I'll go up to four. And the revelation that came during that season, the visions were, it didn't happen at first, but you kept at it. I kept contending, and all of a sudden you got that breakthrough. And vision after vision after vision, the Lord's taking you up and he's showing you things. This stuff still happens today.
Amen.
For those that press through. The transfiguration. Remember the transfiguration on the mountain? And you've got the three disciples, and they see Jesus up there, and Moses and Elijah talking to him. Did Moses and Elijah actually come to earth to talk to the Lord? What was the mechanics behind the transfiguration? Think about it. I always thought that he came. You know, Moses and Elijah beamed him down.
It was a vision?
It was a vision.
Yeah. That's what
it says. Matthew 17:9, as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one. In the Greek, it means vision, seeing the vision. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. That's how you get vision, guys. Our imagination, that is our spiritual eyes. Think about this. This is what's going on. This is the battle that's in the heavenlies. over our imagination. Why do you think your imagination has been bombarded like it is? The filth that the world throws at our imagination. Every time you turn, you cannot watch a commercial on TV. You can be watching the Family Hallmark Channel, and a commercial comes on. It's like, right? Why do you think the battle for our minds is so intense? Jesus came to close our eyes of sin and to reopen our spiritual eyes. Jesus only did what he could see the Father doing. The enemy does not want people walking around like Jesus, I guarantee it. Only doing what they see the Father doing. So the enemy has released this bombardment of the filth. He's also, it's not by accident we have this boom of technology. And technology can be addictive. Visual stimulation can be addictive. I know kids that play 6-8 hours a day games, video games. It's like, I can just hear the enemy saying, if I can capture their mind, if I can just pump stuff into their mind, they won't be seeing. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, or some versions say the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened or opened. I pray that your spiritual eyes are opened. Why? Why? So that you may know what the hope of your calling is. You may know your destiny. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance. So you, I pray that your mind and your eyes become open so you see everything God has for you. And the enemy does not want that. There is an incredible attack against your mind, against your spiritual eyes, to shut your spiritual eyes down. Even the world will say, it's only your imagination. That statement, I'm telling you, it comes out of the pit of hell. It's only your imagination. Shut your imagination down. That's what the world is saying. Why? Because your imagination is your spiritual eyes. That is the organism, the organ God has put within us to see dreams and visions. The world is teaching us to not to keep looking, as Daniel kept looking. The world's doing everything it can to keep us from looking. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are learned. Jesus has already done everything he's going to do. He has released the fullness of the gospel upon this earth. Creation is groaning for the sons of man to rise up and walk in their inheritance. Hallelujah. It's a childlike faith, guys.
That's right.
We don't check our brains at the door. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is we trust Papa. We have a childlike trust in the Lord. Amen? I want to show you the power of a sanctified imagination. The tabernacle. Everyone talks about the tabernacle. Later became the temple. It started in the imagination of David. The tabernacle started in the imagination of David. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of your people. When Jeremiah had a prophetic word for the nation of Israel, it was in his imagination. When Peter saw the sheet coming down of all the animals, and the Lord said, eat, which was a vision to take the gospel to the Gentiles, changed the entire direction of the church. Where did that happen? Where did that message come to Peter? In his mind, in his imagination. God uses the power of a sanctified mind is incredible. A mind that you have allowed the Holy Spirit to clean up, and then you surrender it to the Lord like a gigantic blackboard and say, Father, write on it anything you want to write. Speak to me, Father, whatever you want to speak. And then grab on to the dreams of God. God will speak His dreams to you into your mind. And then they become your dreams. And then we start to walk it out. And it'll become on earth as it is in heaven. Evangelism came through the mind. Revelation 4:1, when John looked into heaven and he saw the door that was open, and he was taken up and received the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was in his mind. The key to activating the seer realm within your life is faith. I keep talking about the Lord has released everything that He's going to release. I thank You, Father, that You have released all the stuff to us in this time, in this season. God, You have prepared a people, Father, to change the world. In Jesus' name. We talk about Enoch, who did not see death, right? Why did he not see death? I always thought that he was special, honestly, that Enoch was just so close to God. I've heard this taught. Enoch was so close to God, God said, I just can't bear to be apart. Just come on up, Enoch, and he was translated up. The Bible doesn't say that. Hebrews 11:5, by faith. Enoch was taken so he did not see death.
Yes.
How did Enoch not see death?
Faith.
By faith. That's powerful when you grab a hold of that. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. By faith, Enoch did not see death. If that is possible, what is impossible in your life?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Nothing is impossible. Nothing. If Enoch did not see death. For he who comes to the Lord must believe. When I come, I say, Lord, show me visions, Father. And I position myself, Jesus, I want to have a personal face-to-face encounter with You. And I position myself to receive that face-to-face encounter with Jesus. I come to Him with faith. But I believe He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Mm. It says in Romans 12:6 that we prophesy according to our faith. And I talked about this before. But your level of prophetic gifting is determined by the amount of faith you have to operate in. We have the ability to stir up our faith. We have the potential to be around people of greater faith. We can search them out in our lives. People that don't bring us down, but people that instill faith in us. And I just loved being around Bob Jones last week. I mean, you know, my gosh.
Yeah. Amen.
And I said, Bob, I'm just consider me a sponge today. And soak up as much as I can. All the gifts work that way. You operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the seer realm, in proportion to your faith. I believe the Lord, it keeps stirring on me about this thing on faith. And the power of it. It's so incredibly powerful. Yet, there's a responsibility on our part to exercise our faith. And sometimes it's not much exercising, getting more faith, it's that you kill doubt. I just start believing in the Lord so strong, it kills doubt. And when I do that, it releases faith. All things are possible that those that believe. Amen. There's been, let me talk about biblical safeguards in the seer realm and in the prophetic. There's an article on the Elijah list recently and some controversy on seeing into the realm of the spirit. And it's called at will. Is that we cannot at will see into heavenly realms. We cannot will an experience like John had in Revelation 4:1. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's never our will. Where I disagree with that article, though, is that it's his will. Yeah. I believe it's the Lord's will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I believe we can position ourselves to receive. We're the ones that can pray until we're in the Spirit. We can put ourselves in the place where God can show us things. There's a fear that as we talk about some of this, they say, oh, that's visualization. That's New Age stuff. The New Age is a counterfeit. You know, I was at the store the other day when I had the $1 bill. I gave a $1 bill. The girl did not hold it up and mark it with a brown marker. But I give them a $100 bill, they hold it up and mark it, but they didn't do it with a one. Why? Because no one counterfeits a $1 bill. They only counterfeit stuff that's valuable. If there's a counterfeit, it means that the original is very valuable.
Yes.
And if there's a counterfeit, have you ever seen I haven't seen it personally, but you see it on TV, to hold up a counterfeit bill and to hold up the real bill. And the counterfeit bill looks a lot like the real one. You've got to look closely for it. They look for the watermarks and things in it. The key is that the counterfeit looks like the original. We're teaching people to operate in the seer realm of heard people say, well, that looks like New Age techniques. I go, it should.
Yeah.
Because they're counterfeiting what's sure. real.
That's it.
Did you know that the New Age, Wiccan, they speak in tongues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, so if someone in the New Age speaks in tongues, should you stop?
No.
You know they pray for the sick and pray healing. Because a person Wiccan, a New Age, prays for the sick, should you stop praying for the sick?
No.
Because they have visualization and they can see it in the spirit realm, should that keep us from it?
No.
That's part of the assault to keep our eyes closed. There's a powerful promise in Luke. And the Lord says, if you ask for fish, he will not give you a snake. And if you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. We have got to quit being so scared about the power of the devil and start putting our faith in the power of God. That when we come before the Lord with an honest and sincere heart, we're standing upon the rock. We're standing upon Scripture. And we come before the Lord and ask Him for a gift. We ask Him for an encounter. Does the enemy have the power to sneak in with a snake? I don't believe so. I believe the power of God is greater to protect us than the power of the enemy is to deceive us.
Amen.
And because of that, I can come boldly and ask the Lord to show me visions, to take me up into heavenly realms, to have encounters with Him. I can come boldly before the Lord. And I know that I will not get anything that's New Agey or false. Because I have asked Him. That's like saying, if you're not saved, and you sincerely come before the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, no one ever argues, well, maybe the devil will forgive you your sins. Maybe you'll have a fake salvation experience. We don't even think along those terms, do we? We know that when we come before the Lord and ask Him for bread, He will not give us a rock. When you ask the Lord to increase your spiritual sight, to show you things, when we go through exercises, you can trust that the power of God is there to keep you safe.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
It's a biblical safeguard there. These are three steps that the Lord gave me to see into the seer realm. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Ask the Lord to cleanse you. Let's do that right now. Father, I just ask you that you wash away every sin within us. Lord, if we have seen anything through our eye gate that we were not supposed to see, that we allow compromise in our life, Father, I ask that you forgive us of that. I ask that you wash us clean. The next one is, from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent men take it by force. You want it. Contend for it. This is our part, our responsibility. We keep looking into visions. We contend for visions. We earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, which means we lust after them. We want everything that God has for us.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
So we ask the Lord to remove our sins. We ask Him to cleanse us. So we're standing up upon the rock as we come before Him. We remove any unforgiveness that we have for anyone. We ask God to erase all that stuff from us. And He's more than able to do that, right? Just His blood's enough. We get ourselves clean. And then we contend. We go for the things of the Spirit. We reach out. We help each other. We push each other. We contend.
Amen.
And then we stop and receive it like a child. Daddy, I trust you. Oh, Papa, I trust you. I trust you. You are such a good God. And which means anything you do is going to be good. There's nothing bad that can come from you, Papa. I receive everything you have from me as a child. That's how you receive the gifts of the Spirit, guys. That's how you walk in a greater seer realm. That's how we walk in a greater vision. Receive it like children. I just want you to put the papers down, books down. Here, couple. I declare over you right now that there's an open heaven in this place. That there is nothing to prevent you from seeing whatever Jesus wants you to see, including Himself. You are His son. You are His precious daughter. You are Daddy's little girl. Daddy's favorite boy right now. And Jesus wants to take you upon His lap and have an encounter with you through your spiritual eyes. Heaven has been open over you, and it's open over you right now. Let's go back to the woman at the well. I just want you to picture that well in your mind. And so the woman by the well, it's you. I just release the visions over you right now, in Jesus' name. You're by the well. You've got a grassy field around you. I see a little hill in front of you. There's a little valley in the hill. There's someone walking up to you. Turn to look at it in the vision. We have predominant prophetic gifts within us. Some are naturally seers. Some are hearers. And some are, some people feel the presence of God. If you did not see anything that time, do not get discouraged. All that means is your predominant gift may not be seen. It took me 9 months of pressing through before I saw it for the first time. Okay? If you're a feeler, or if you're a hearer, seeing in this, it's like trying to write with your left hand if you're right-handed. The ability's there, but it takes more practice. It doesn't mean anyone else is better than you. Don't let any condemnation come down. Because this promise is for all of us. What we do through these exercises, it's like the world has, we've got this well, the ability to see that the Lord restored. And the world, we've allowed the world to clog junk in. It could be unbelief, but they have to be sins and unbelief, that type of sin. What we're doing is unclogging that well. And as we unclog it, it just starts to flow. And this becomes a natural way of life. And you can walk as Jesus walked, only doing what you see the Father do. I'll lay down before the crusade the pad of paper, and I'll start to pray. And I'll say, Lord, show me who you're going to heal tonight. And he takes me into the crusade that has not happened yet. And I see who he's going to heal. And I write it down. When I get up on the platform, that's my words of a knowledge. And as I speak, and this has happened time and time and time again, and people will come up and testify, I was healed when you spoke it. Wow. I saw it 3 hours before in the hotel room. I get up on the platform. They get healed when I speak it. Because I'm only doing what I saw my Father do. You can do this. Lord, show me what you're going to do today. Show me, Lord. Practicing seeing in the Spirit, practicing the gifts that God's given us will open up the well within your life. Out of Revelation 4:1. And after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard, first speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, a rainbow resembling an emerald. Encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated upon them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. It started with a door, and then he kept looking into the vision. There's somehow we found that when we come together, unity, with the same purpose, that unity creates like a spirit of prophecy, a spirit of the seer realm that opens heaven over that group. And we come in unity. Problems describing what they were seeing. Ask is ask. Daddy, what's this? Daddy, what does this mean? What's this, Daddy? There's times that is perfectly okay. Ask. If you see something, like if you see a horse and a chariot, ask if you can go for a ride. Chariot rides were really cool. Really, really cool.
Wow, sounds like it.
Yeah, when I started to, when we started to experience these, one of the first things that I was taken into was this room of body parts. I went into this room of body parts. And I saw eyeballs. Didn't understand it. Had no grid for this. Until I went, until I started to preach the next time, and eye miracles were breaking out everywhere. What I saw in the vision happened. This one particular service, I think, the power of God swept through, and three people were wearing glasses. Their vision went fuzzy, and they instantly had 20/20 vision. Because I encountered the Lord in a vision. When Isaiah was called into the ministry, in Isaiah 6, when the Lord said, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "I will go." That was in a vision, but he received his call into the ministry. I preached about that in one service. We're up at High Point. 40 people were called into the ministry in that service. They had an Isaiah 6 experience. This is not just a neat thing. It's not a novelty. There's real anointings and real gifts that are released in the presence of the Lord. Anytime you encounter Jesus, it will change your life. Every time that you walk in that realm of the Spirit, your gifts become increased. The Bible is made alive. I can remember I would sit down and I could read a whole book of the Bible. I started having these experiences, and I would read like three scriptures and go, "Oh, wow, I've never seen that before. This is so deep." It's like when your spiritual eyes become open, you see the depth of Scripture. There's so much fruit. Inner healing happens incredibly. Inner healing comes when Jesus tells you who you are. When you start to understand who you are in His eyes, healing flows into your heart. Journal, guys. Journal, journal, journal. Journal everything you see. You will forget. Even the most powerful encounters, you will forget the details. Many of the encounters you have, you will not understand, because they come in bits and pieces. The next time that you position yourself to encounter the Lord, He may take you exactly to the place that you ended today.
Yeah.
And where you don't have complete revelation of what you saw tonight, the next encounter may bring it all together. And if you haven't written this one down, you may miss what the Lord's speaking to you. Always journal. If it's important enough for Jesus to show it to you, it's important enough to write it down. Amen? Brent, is there anything else you'd like to share or points or anything?
I was praying about a week and a half ago, and the Lord had asked me to start training Lance. And he's my little 2.5-year-old, if y'all know him, he's a little one running around. And I thought training, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be training him in or through or what I was at. So I asked. That's what I was encouraging you guys to do. I said, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to train him in?" And instantly before me, like what you train about seeing like a neon sign, I saw the word I, like the letter I, and then the word magi, which is like the magi, the wise men that brought gifts unto the Lord. And then the next word I saw was nation, like a nation, a large nation. And I said, "Lord, what are you showing me?" And he said, "You need to train him because he's part of the Magi nation, or the group of wise men, those that bring their gifts unto the Lord." And as I kept inquiring, I didn't have quite understand, but I focused on the word Magi. And I thought, okay, so I'm supposed to train him to be a wise man. How do I do that, Lord? And as I focused on it, he answered me by slamming all three of the words together, and they just kind of burst. And it said imagination. There was one word. And so I said, "I'm supposed to train my son." And he said, "Train his imagination."
Yeah.
Wow. So that night, I was so excited. I always lay him to bed at night, and we laid in bed. And I told him, Lance, we're going to play a game tonight. We're going to train your imagination. And he said, oh, what's that? And oh, let's do it. And so the first night, I started teaching him to focus on words, so or objects. I would say, I'm going to close your eyes, and let's picture a bus. And we picture a bus. I said, do you see it? He'd say, yeah. And then the next word, I'd say, picture a bird in your imagination. Do you see a bird? He'd say, yes. So I was testing him. What is the bird doing? He said, it's flying, Daddy. So I knew he was seeing what I was saying, not just saying that he saw,
right,
if that made any sense. The next night, we did that for about 15 minutes. The next night, we went into people. And I said, you know, do you see your Mimi, which is his grandma? Yeah, I see Granddaddy, he said. I said, what's Granddaddy doing? Oh, he's on his couch watching TV. So I know that's what he does in the house, and so I knew he was getting revelation of what he was seeing. The third night, we went into events, and I said, you know, I want you to picture this, and I want you to picture this doing that. And the fourth night, we were getting ready to go to bed about 9:30 at night. And when you talk about faith like a child, or approach like a child, receive like a child, the fourth night I was getting him ready for bed, it was 9:30 at night, Natalie and I were about to lay him down, and it was a Saturday night or a Friday night. And he began to say, no, no, I got to go to work, Daddy. I got to go to work. I go to heaven. And I said, what do you mean you go to heaven? From 9:30 until 12:15, he talked straight about his experiences in heaven and what he saw. Natalie would go from laughing hysterically, because there were things he would say that were definitely nuances that were just him, and we would laugh. And then she would begin to bawl and weep, because he would be repeating scripture of stuff we've never taught him. Scripture like, he said, I play my guitar in heaven, and there's a big man, he plays next to me, and he plays his guitar like this. And he said, his big guitar makes a loud noise. It's loud, Daddy. He was describing a harp as we come up. I said, is it up in the air, or does it sit on the ground? He goes, it sits down, and he plays it like this. And he went on to describe, you know, getting out of a boat, walking on water, worshiping in heaven, all these encounter scriptures, and he was repeating stuff that we had no wonder, you know, never taught him. And we let him go until 12:15, and then he kind of faded out. Right? We faded out. I mean, we were just... There was one point, though, that he said, Daddy, up there are many rooms. He said it, quoted the Bible. And I've never told him that. And there was a point, we were sitting on the couch side by side, and he looked at me like, I'm going to look at you, because he changed his tone and his demeanor and his face. He said, Daddy, and the room for you, you've got to work. You've got to fill it up. And it was a prophetic voice that came forth from him that I knew wasn't his. And, you know, then he went back and started joking or eating fish, goldfish or something. But,
that was powerful.
One of the final things he said is, I said, did you ever see Jesus? And he said, oh yes, Jesus is very angry. And I said, why is he angry? And he said, because he wants his wife. And he wants his wife now.
Jesus.
And he said, his daddy's angry too, because his daddy and him both want his wife. And I said, so he's angry? He says, he wants his wife now, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. So, I'm telling you, he has no influence. I mean, we watch biblical things and we talk God around our house. But those scriptures were never spoken in my house. And, you know, the heaven with many rooms was never been preached. Just a faith like a child to receive what God is doing. And I encourage you, as you read your Bible, if you want to judge something by the fruit. So I encourage you to get into your Word even tonight. There's still time. Just grab your Bible tonight and read. And let the fruit pour forth, that the depths of the Scripture will come to light. And that you will begin to see with your ears. And as you read, you will begin to open up your spiritual eyes. That was the first thing that happened to me. It was the scripture jumped off the page and came alive.
Me too. Yeah. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done tonight.